Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for being a prayer-hearing God. And I know there are people in this room tonight, Lord, carrying burdens. Can't be publicized publicly in a place like this. But I'm glad they can carry him to you. And I pray that no one would be so discouraged with unanswered prayer for the moment that they would give up praying. Because as we learned a couple of Sunday nights ago, Lord, we don't know what you will do. But we know you won't ignore it. You'll do something with it. And so, God, we thank you for that. Meet the needs tonight that we've asked you to meet, Lord, please, according to your divine purpose and plan. And give us grace to live with that plan. And bless the offering tonight, Lord. Thank you for Brother Lowe and his family and their faithfulness for these years. In Jesus' name, amen. Honor for our church to be the sending church for Jason and Heather Lowe. And I remember the night that he was called into mission work up in Elgin and one of the God Save America conferences years ago, except for he didn't stay in America. He went to the Bahamas, and everybody thinks of Bahamas and Nassau and Atlantic City and all that, but you get beyond the hill, isn't that what they call it? And over the hill. And it's as third world as anywhere else you'd want to go. And so glad to have him here tonight. 15 years counting deputation, 13 years in country, and good. I'm glad he's here tonight to preach to us. So get your Bible, and we'll hear him gladly tonight.
Amen. Well, good evening. It's good to be home. Amen. And we are honored as well to certainly have Faith Baptist Church as our home church, our sending church, and thank you for your faithfulness for all these years. And we are still, just give you a brief update, we are still hand-tied a little bit in government restrictions that we have. Still have to have only 30% capacity in the service. Service is only supposed to be an hour in length. The mask, everything, all that's still in place. Actually, the 13th of August, the government there is supposed to give us a decision on if they will extend these emergency orders or not. My guess is they will. They've been really pushing the vaccine as of late, creating division between the vaccinated and those who, you know, are not vaccinated and so on. So, but we're just, we're trusting the Lord. Cost of living has jumped about 30-40% since Biden, to be honest with you, from the policies and the, everything over here, how it trickles to us, the food costs and things. And so we're just trusting the Lord. God's been good and God's been faithful. And, but yeah, we got our Sunday mornings back. We got our Sunday nights, our Wednesday nights. We got the bus going again. Kids ministries, and so we are just, there's some stuff that we're still waiting on we can't do yet. Can't go door-to-door soul winning yet. They won't let us do that, unless you're vaccinated. Can't go door-to-door. And so there's some things, but we're just trusting the Lord, looking for other opportunities, trying to ask God for wisdom on what we should do. But it's good to be here for a short little spell as we get Ian sorted out, get him set up for school. We got Ian early this morning, I guess. We left yesterday, got here, I don't know, we got to the Allens about, 4:30 or something this morning. One of those red-eye flights. Aren't they a blessing? And I got stuck in Miami for a little while. But, you know, when you fly those late flights, you see some interesting things. And we're in Miami, and there's a lady there, and I'd never seen anybody bring an inflatable pool raft on a plane. And she had one of those big 5-foot, like the donut-looking things. And, you know, it may not have, you know, been that bad, except it was half inflated. And she went in the back of the plane, so I'm not sure what they did with it. But, and I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, Brother Jeff, but she had a Cubs jersey on. So I don't know. So anyway, in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I just turned off all the Cubs fans here tonight. Amen. All right. Galatians chapter 5. Give you a couple thoughts here. And hopefully be a blessing to you. Galatians 5. Let's look here at verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9. I'll start reading. You just catch up if you haven't got there yet. Galatians 5. Verses 4 through 9. Paul writing, of course, says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Verse 9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Father, thank you for these folks that are out tonight on a Wednesday. And Lord, I know they haven't certainly come to hear me. And Lord, I pray though that you'd help me, Lord, to bring these thoughts, these Bible principles across in such a way that we can grab a hold of it here tonight. Examine our hearts, examine our lives. And we just commit this time to you, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, tonight in this text, we probably find Paul's favorite metaphor for the Christian life. Look again, verse 7. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And of course, the illustration is that of a race. Ye did run. And we don't have much time, but, you know, a couple other portions of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not that they that which run in a race run all. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Of course, the picture there of a runner finishing, crossing the finish line. Hebrews 12. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Over and over again throughout the New Testament, the Bible refers to the Christian life as a race. Now, of course, for these Galatians and for the Corinthians and the Thessalonians and others, that was an illustration that was very familiar to them. Because the highlight, if you will, the focal point of their famous Greek games was the marathon race. The marathon, of course, being that long distance run, 24 miles is where it started there. And that's why this text is so very specific. Again, look at verse 7. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Now, what I want us to really hopefully grab a hold of here tonight is not that word run. Because I know you're here on a Wednesday night. You know that we ought to be running for the Lord. We ought to be, you know, involved in the Christian life and that. So I'm not worried about that. And it's not even the word well. Because, you know, as we run and what we do for the Lord, we should be doing our best. And I believe that you believe that tonight. But what I really want us to look at is that word, who. Who. The Bible says here, you were running well. You were at one time faithful. You were at one time obeying the truth. But then he says, but who? Who hindered you? Notice he doesn't say what. He doesn't say what happened to you or what hindered you. You know, it's not what philosophy or what organization, what illness, what pandemic. But here he says who. And that who is a singular pronoun, which indicates to us tonight that there was probably at least one particular person in Galatia who, the Bible says, hindered them in their own race for the Lord. Paul says these words. He says, we run to obtain an incorruptible crown. Later on, the Lord says in Revelation chapter 3, he says, let no man take thy crown. He doesn't say, let not Satan. He says, let no man take your crown. And so again, here in our text tonight, Paul says, who? What person, what man, what woman has hindered you in your Christian race for the Lord? And I know this is a Wednesday night. I know this is the backbone of this church, okay? We're missing folks, no doubt. camps and vacations and so on. But I want to bring this thought to you tonight quickly. I want to speak to you on this. Those who can hinder you. Those who can hinder you. One of the saddest statements I believe that Paul ever makes in the New Testament is this question right here in verse number 7. Because he's writing to people that he has led to Christ. He's writing to people that he has taught them the gospel. These believers in Galatia. And he says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Notice again, the past tense, right? So in other words, he's reminding these Galatians that there was a time in their life where they were faithful. By the way, specifically, these folks were faithful. When you study the book out, they were faithful to the truth of the gospel of grace. That truth, that salvation is a free gift. It's not of works. That you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. But something happened. Something happened, and that's really the reason why this whole epistle was penned. Somebody interfered with the race. And so Paul says, who did hinder you? Now that word hinder is the Greek word anaskopos. It literally means to cut in. It means to interfere. Has anybody here ever been cut off in traffic? Huh? Raise your hand. Huh? Yeah, all right. We know that. Don't raise your hand on this one, but have you ever cut anybody else off? Amen? It doesn't feel good. Anybody ever steal your parking space? You know, you know where you're going, and all of a sudden this car just kind of cuts you off and jumps right in there. But that's what this word means, to cut in front of, to interfere. Okay? So Paul says, someone has done that to you. Okay? Somebody. And so he's saying sadly here, you did run well. You were growing. You were progressing. You were serving. You were faithful at one time. You know, you were pressing on the upward way. New heights you were gaining every day. But there was somebody, again, not some sin, not some organization, not something, but someone, somebody hindered you. And if you maybe still don't believe that's the thought here, look at verse 10, Galatians 5, look at verse 10. Look what he says. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. Do you see the personal pronouns? But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whosoever he be. Who hindered you? He says. And there's three things I want us to consider quickly tonight about this matter of the Christian race. And specifically about those who can come into our life different seasons, they'll come into our lives and they can literally cut us off, interfere with our stride for the Lord. Those men, women, or even teenagers, as Jesus says, that can take our crown. And so three things quickly tonight. I want to talk about those, number one, those who weigh on you. Those who can weigh on you or weigh you down. Whether that's an intentional thing or an unintentional thing. And they just weigh you down in your spiritual Christian race that you have been called to run for God. Hebrews 12 says that we're to look unto Jesus, who? The author and finisher of our faith. So as we're running this thing called the Christian life, we're running our Christian race, we're to be looking at Jesus, church, not looking at people. Because here's the truth. If you ever run, whatever you look at when you're running, it affects how you run. If you've caught any Olympics going on, I've caught a race or two. But you know, I've never seen anybody running like this or running behind. You're looking behind them. Huh? They're looking forward. Because it's always true that what you see, what you look at, it affects your spirit and it affects your walk. What you see, how you see, listen, it affects everything. That's why the command in Scripture is to look to Jesus the entire time. He's the author. He's the finisher. So from the beginning of the race to the end of the race, keep your eyes on the one. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Church, run with your eyes not on the crowd. Run with your eyes on Christ. See, there's those people in life, they just want to weigh you down. Weigh you down. Those of you who have ever run track, or maybe you still run, okay, you know, you don't need a lot of patience to run the 100-yard dash. You're not likely to get weighed down by people with a race that lasts, 9-10 seconds. But a marathon? Huh? A race that can last 2, 3, 4, for most of us, a greater part of a week? Huh? So that's a race of endurance. That's a race of persistence and patience and faithfulness. And it's the reason why God tells us to keep our eyes on the prize. But there's those that want to weigh you down. They want to come and they want to spread. Listen, they don't care. There's people in life. The old saying, what? Misery loves company, right? There are people in this world, people maybe even in your life right now, they do not want their misery helped. They don't want it fixed. They don't want it answered. They would rather for that misery in their life to become this emotional contagion. Huh? Talk about super spreaders. That's what they want. If they're down, buddy, they want you down. But if you choose for that to happen, if you choose to accompany that miserable person and get in their boat of misery, just remember, you asked for it. Because there's some people that just are there to weigh you down. The Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint, like a rock. Huh? Listen, why do you have to do that? Well, because there were people in our Lord's life that tried to weigh him down. They tried to weigh him down from his eternal calling. By the way, those people aren't extinct today. They're there. They're out there. And there are too many Christians that have the attention span of a flea when it comes to serving God. The long distance race, folks, listen, you run uphill, you run downhill, you run through the sunshine, you run through the rain. That's what the Bible says, be instant in season, out of season. Run. And it's a long, glorious life of fighting the good fight, of keeping the faith, of running with patience the race that's been set before us. That marathon. Listen, it's not the dash. You're running through countrysides and city blocks, over hills, down into valleys, in the heat, in the cold. Why? Because at the end of that race, it's a long ways away. It's a long ways away. And church, if you and I, if we're going to cross that finish line, then it's required for us to keep our focus on Jesus. Not our friends. You may have some friends tonight that weigh you down. Not on family. Some of us may have family that wants to weigh us down. Not on people. Not on those that want to weigh us down. Think about this. Think about all the great hymns of the faith that we sing and we sang tonight. Hymns written by godly men and women that knew the Scripture. And most of them, if not all, most of them went through some sort of deep spiritual experience that brought them even closer to God. But in those hymns that we sing, what do we sing about? We sing about things like surrender and commitment and faithfulness. Consecration and sacrifice and patience and courage and being a soldier of the cross and marching on and that he's worthy. Listen, we sing about cherishing the old rugged cross, right? Why do they say these things? Why are those the subjects? Because that's the language of Scripture. It's the language of the Bible. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot today. They don't care about those things. There are a lot of people today that claim even to be Christian that don't want anything to do with commitment or sacrifice or serving. They don't like those terms. Why? Because they're short-sighted. They want material gain. They want a life of ease. They want to run the sprint. They want something that's going to give them instant pleasure and instant reward and instant recognition. And folks, those are the ones that can come in and cut you off. And interfere with in the middle of your race and sing their songs. Not songs of patience, not songs of cross bearing, not songs of faithfulness, but songs of emotion and songs of feeling and songs of fun times and pleasure. Songs that Demas listened to and Amnon listened to and Samson listened to and the Laodiceans listened to. Songs of instant gratification. And so they'll weigh us down if we let them. But here's the problem. Not only will they just lay us down, but they get us out of our race. And even greater, the problem is even greater than that, not just away from our race, but ultimately they get us away from Jesus. And inevitably, you will lose your focus and your purpose and your joy and your devotion, and it'll leave you nothing but tired. That's why Paul says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, that's what he's getting at. you see. So there are those who weigh on you. Quickly, number two, there's a second group that'll try to hinder us, and that is those who withstand you. Those who withstand you. Say, brother, there's those in the Christian race. Oh, yes, there's those. Look at chapter 15. Look at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. He said, brother, people do that? Christians bite each other? Devour each other? Church people do that? Chapter 16, verse 17, Paul says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me. Now, in every marathon, whether it's the Chicago Marathon, the Boston Marathon, New York, wherever around the world, at least before COVID anyway, right? There's always this, if you've seen it, if you've run one, if you've been there, there's always this huge group of people that will gather around that 19-mile mark. And they say the reason why they gather in that specific spot is because that's where most runners encounter what they call the dreaded wall. Now, the wall is simply that point in the race when the glycogen reserves start to run out of your body, and suddenly as a runner you start to feel like your feet are, you got concrete blocks for shoes, and things are getting slower and slower. And so this crowd will form there because they know that that is the place where every runner basically decides whether they're going to finish the race or they decide right there if they're going to quit the race. Now, unfortunately, those in the crowd, you know, not all of them are wanting them to finish. There may be some that are there, and they're you know, maybe it's members of the media. You know, let's pick on them for a little bit, right? They got their cameras. They're just hoping to get a good shot of somebody, you know, falling out, you know, falling on their face, quitting. You know, there may even be some other folks there. They just have that morbid sense. They don't like others succeeding, and so they're just hoping to see some people fail. And it shouldn't be surprising that statistically they say that runners, you know, that are physically weary, that they will often throw in the towel for emotional and mental reasons first. It's mind games. But did you know tonight that it's the same thing for the Christian life, the Christian race? In other words, if Satan can't get somebody to weigh you down, then maybe plan B is to find somebody who will literally stand in your way. Find somebody to withstand you or stop you. And usually, church, it's somebody who shows up after you're already weary. Somebody comes up around that 19-mile mark, you see. Listen, they show up when you're already burdened. They show up when you're already troubled. This is a person that comes along, and I guarantee you, they could care a hill. They don't care at all about your best spiritual interests, you see. And they'll come up and they'll say foolishness like, you're a hypocrite. Boy, what you're doing, it's not worth it. Don't you see all the better runners in front of you? Look how far you still got to go. Don't you know what you're missing out on? Hey, don't you think 19 miles is far enough? Isn't that pretty good? And church, they'll say all kinds of things, and they'll try to do all kinds of things for the sole purpose of trying to upend the child of God. You say, brother, what should I do? Well, ignore them. Ignore them. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the one that you're running for. Because here's the truth about that crowd. Listen, not everybody in that crowd is against the runners. Most of the ones in that crowd are there to encourage. And if you've seen the races, they're there, they got their signs, they got their noisemakers, and sometimes they're running alongside the runners, and they got cups of water, and they're, hey, you can do it, you can do it, keep running, keep going, keep going. That great cloud of witnesses, right? Hey, what are they trying to do? They're trying to urge that runner to keep going, to continue on. Why? Because Jesus is worthy. Folks, Jesus is worthy for you and I to finish the race. But what's our human tendency? Our human tendency is to sometimes focus on the one or two, the hecklers. Huh? That's our human nature. We pick up on those that are against us. We obsess over that one note that we get, or that one email, that one text, and as a pastor over there, boy, you get them. Everybody's got ideas. That one heckler, that one negative response, and the human tendency is you focus on that one little dot, huh? and you miss all the 99% of the blessings that are around you. That's our nature. Focus on that dot instead of focusing on the blessings. See, church, as believers engage in a very long race, a glorious race, a race that when we know, when we cross the finish line, we'll know that we now, right now, we already know we're going to declare He's worthy. We already know that. We know that. And yes, there'll be disappointments. And yes, there'll be hardships. And yes, there'll be discouragers aplenty. You know what the Christian life is not like? I didn't realize this until the other day. I came across it and I looked at it. State song for Kansas. Do you know what that is? Anybody know the state song for Kansas? Anybody from Kansas? Huh? Well, the state song for Kansas, listen, is give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. What's the next line? Where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Anybody, not having been to Kansas, but has anybody been to that place where there's no discouraging word? Because I haven't. And I know Kansas is not that place because they have CNN and MSNBC and all that. Listen, if you turn on the news, you can get some discouraging words, right? Huh? Brother, what should I do? Well, don't let them hinder you. Keep running. Run well. Because you're running for Him. You're not running for them. Say, Brother, but they keep pointing out my problems. Okay? Tell them it's not a problem. Tell them it's an interesting situation. Or whatever you got to do. Just don't let them hinder you. Because church, the Sanballats and the Tobias and the Gershoms, they're always going to be with us. Always. I have to hurry tonight. There's a third group I want you to see. We said number one, there are those who weigh on us. There are number two, those who withstand us. And then number three, there are those who woo us. They woo us or they pull us. Let's go to chapter 3 quickly as we close tonight. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Can you imagine? You get a letter in the mail from preacher. Oh, foolish so-and-so. Amen. That's what's happening here. Huh? That's the pastor, okay? Oh, foolish Galatians. But look at this. Who, there it is again, hath bewitched you? Again, some person, some personality in Galatia. They're there deceiving, causing harm. In this case, it was a fundamental doctrine that was being attacked concerning law and grace. Thyatira was something else. Colossae was something else. Corinth was something else. Listen, but here's the point. There's always going to be those people. There's always going to be those people who have that ability to go in and convince you and woo you and pull you away from the main race that God has intended for you to run. And before you know it, without knowing it, you're on some side trail somewhere. You're running some distraction on some rabbit trail that doesn't matter at all in your race for Jesus. Not too long ago, we were at a church and they had their vacation Bible school, which was fun for us to see because, you know, we've now 2 years haven't been able to have one. And they did a space theme. I don't know if that's something that goes around right now, the space theme. But they had the whole platform just done up right. They had all the, and really, whoever did it used a lot of intelligence because they just used normal household things. And they had two recycle bins together with some dryer vents for, it looked like a little robot, like a little, you know, a little, I don't know, they just had it done well. Service ended, and there was a little boy that was in the middle aisle of the auditorium. He had his little gang with him, you know, how you boys do. You got their little posse, little church posse, you know, probably five or six. And he said to his fellows, he said, I think 90% of that stuff up there is not real. He's 100% right, huh? But you know, as I thought about that later, I thought to myself, you know, I just wish that there was more Christians that were able to look at some stuff that's labeled so easily today as Christian, Christian TV, Christian books, Christian music, all that stuff just floating down the river labeled Christian. I wish we had more discernment amongst God's people to say, you know what, I believe 90% of that is junk. 90% of that's fake. 90% of that stuff is just trying to distract me, trying to woo me away, pull me away from the race that God wants me to run. I don't know of anything anymore, church, that hinders another Christian from running their race than another Christian not running theirs. You see, that's why one of the main reasons why faithfulness to the local church is such an important thing. Because it does not matter who you are, it's so important to get around other believers who are running in the right direction. You don't know how much it thrills my heart to come back on a Wednesday night and see some faces that I saw, 15 years ago when we had to say goodbye. You don't know how much that thrills my heart to see that. Still serving, still plugging away, still running the right direction. Huh? Some of the younger families, you were younger coming in as we were leaving, still at it. Still serving God? That's why faithfulness to the assembly. Listen, faithfulness to the house of God, it makes that wooing crowd not so bewitching. Being with God's people, worshiping the Lord together, holding the same book, singing the same songs. Listen, it's kind of hard to woo somebody away from all of that. 500 years before Paul, the Athenians... Many of you probably know this. The Athenians defeated the Persians in the great battle of Marathon. There's a guy by the name of Pheidippides. How'd you like that name? Amen. He was a Greek messenger. He was so overjoyed at the victory that he ran from the village of Marathon, those 24 miles, 384 yards, all the way to the city of Athens. And of course, that's where the marathon race came from. And apparently, as history says, with bleeding feet, he arrived in Athens, he gasped out the news of the victory, and then he died from exhaustion. Just collapsed right there in the streets. And if you've ever taken the time to look at that voyage and what he had to do, up mountains and so on, and so very hard, hard journey that he had to run. But I got two quick thoughts, and I'll let you go. Listen, number one, we got much better news than Pheidippides. Much better news. We serve a much greater kingdom. We have much greater message. But secondly, folks, listen, the end of our race is not death. At the end of our race is life. Huh? And so tonight, as I try to quickly convey a couple thoughts to you, my heart, my desire for you, for this church, is that you will decide, as you sit there tonight, that you will decide that you're going to stay in the race. That you're going to keep running. That you won't quit on the Lord. And listen, in 15 years, unfortunately, as these other two preachers could say, there's been folks that have quit on the Lord through the years. And there's more than I don't even know of, unfortunately. And some of the folks I loved and respected and just praying for them. But my hope, my prayer, listen, is that you'll keep running. Even though there are those who want to come and weigh you down, even though they want to come and woo you away, pull you away, even though they want to withstand you, I hope that it'll never be said of any of us here tonight that, brother so-and-so, he ran well, but something happened. Sister so-and-so, man, she was running well, but. My prayer, my heart for you, for me, for our ministry down in the Bahamas is that when the race is over, people will be able to say they finished the race. They finished the race. Those that can hinder you. And I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, but listen, folks, listen, the devil would love nothing more than to just grab you out of this auditorium and just scatter you into the wind. So keep on running. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And the Lord help us to stay faithful. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that you take these simple thoughts. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to apply them to our life, to keep running, to keep our eyes on you, especially in the day that we're living. And Lord, if we truly believe the Bible, we truly believe that you're coming soon, Father, I pray that you'd help us to stay faithful to you, to your word, to the greatest message that could ever be given, the gospel. And help us to be faithful in that. Lord, thank you for this church. I love it with all my heart. I love its pastor. Lord, help it, Lord, in the days ahead. We don't know what to expect. We don't know what's going to happen. But Lord, you do. And Father, help us to trust in you. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we ask it.
Let's stand together, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to kneel and pray here because I want to ask the Lord to help me stay in the race. Outstanding message tonight. Let's have an invitation, have this song playing. If you want to kneel and pray tonight, join those that are coming. And let's just tell the Lord we're going to stay in the race. By His grace, would He help us? Would He help us to be careful of the who out there? The one that would withstand us, the one that would woo us, the one that would weigh us down. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the race. I thank You for the privilege to be in it. And God, I pray You'd help us to finish it. And these are strange days to us. But Lord, they didn't catch You off guard. And I pray You'd help us to finish our course. God, thank You for the great encouragement tonight. I'm glad I got to hear this. I needed it. Thank You for it. Bless Brother Lowe and his family and Ian as he stays behind for school and Audrey, as she finishes up, Lord, I think this year next, and Ethan and Aiden back home, Heather, God bless the work there. And thank You for Jason, their faithfulness to You. Thank You for this challenge tonight from Your book, in Christ's name, amen.